Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ, shiur number 103. That's Bais Pnimi joint shiur for both men and women, shiur number 103. Important skill to learn in life and in marriage is to how to communicate. And in marriage, how to communicate with your husband and with your wife. It's the most powerful thing. It's the most skillful thing that should be really learned and trained through high school and post-high school years. It sounds like it's common sense that everyone knows it, but it takes a lot of wisdom and understanding, and it is an important key of Shalom Bayis. It's a key of being Er Lechayid and connecting with Hashem. If you read carefully the story of the Dor HaFlaga at the end of Parshas Noyach, it's clear that that generation that started building the tower would have been matzliach in their ambitious goals if everyone would communicate with each other. So what Hashem did is he forced kaviyachol, he caused a confusion in their languages so that they couldn't communicate, because had they been able to, leibotzar, they wouldn't be held back anything what they would be accomplished, they would be able to accomplish. That is the power of real communication, especially when it comes from a unifying thought, a unifying cause between them. So one of the skills in creating and ensuring a great marriage is to be able to communicate effectively. If you and your husband and wife communicate effectively with one another, you'll have potential to create and sustain a great marriage. If you don't learn this skill, learn how to do it if you want a good marriage. There's no other alternative. There's ways to do nonverbal communication and where you get each other without having to spell it out over time. But one needs careful and clear, thoughtful communication. That is a skill. And that automatically enhances marriages. And it solves so many problems. And it saves so many people. And in the marriage, it saves them from a lot of unnecessary agmas nefesh. According to some paiskim, the very first chait of eating the Eitz Hadas was due to the lack of communication between the first husband and first wife. Hashem said only eating from the chait, from the Eitz Hadas, is usur, not to eat from it. Adam, in telling his wife about what Hashem told him about not about the isur, the Eitz Hadas, forbade her to eat from the tree, forbade her to touch the tree. What he neglected to mention was that the isser of touching the tree was a safety measure that he himself had added in order to protect Hashem's commandment. That is, according to some of Farshim, learned it this way in the Pshat, in the Pasuk. Adam Arishan should have said to Chava, Hashem told us not to eat from the chait Eitz Hadas, and we, or I suggest, or basically really want to enforce us to take that extra measure and not touch it either. The Nachash shrewdly knew this, capitalized on this failure of communication. And after showing Chava that there's no damage in touching the tree, going to one shot, he pushed her on it, and the Nachash said, why not eat from it as well? Because Chava did not know that Hashem had only forbid him to eat from the tree, not touching it. So the Nachash's suggestion seemed convincing, because nothing happened when she touched the tree. So by failing to properly communicate the distinction between Hashem's direct tzivoy and a chumrah, so Adam created a scenario that caused a tremendous agmas nefesh for dairis and dairi dairis. You know, Hashem put into us, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, he put into us a soul, a breathing soul, and the Targum Onkelos says, l'ruach memalala, as a speaking being. The power of speech. Now, the advantage of man over the animal life is his intelligence or her intelligence, but it is connected to speech, good speech, clarification through speech. That is the true chesed of the world. Now, many wonderful books about marriage do place extraordinary emphasis on the role of good communication and give specific detailed rules and formulas for communicating well. It's kedai to read them, once you shall learn more about them. But it's not just a matter of these rules that make effective communication. It's not just a technical process. You need other ingredients in order to have healthy communication. And that's what we're going to talk about, to understand the fundamentals of good communication in a marriage. So first, this is from Setting a Table for Two, Enhancing Relationships, Achieving Intimacy by Avraham Peretz Friedman. He's going to explain what communication is and is not. Effective communication is not measured by how clearly and accurately you convey factual information to your husband or wife, or how skillfully you respond to and refute your spouse's complaint about you. It's not a skill of debate. It's not a skill of arguments and counter-arguments, of lawyers fighting with each other, or disagreeing, or even a respectful disagreeing, but in this like intellectual debate aspect of things. That's not what it is. What is communication and how it's effective, especially between a husband and a wife? It's when they reveal his or her deepest essential truths to one another. And using that deepest essential truth to one another in the service of a real, deep, strong, intimate connection. It's a communication to create intimacy, a deep connection. And that communication provides with a mechanism for expressing our needs and our hurts, and gaining insight into our spouse's inner reality. It's a vehicle for connection. It's a vehicle for support. It's a vehicle for bonding. And we need skills to do this. So it's not just a technical clarity, like when you're going to some business office of some sort that you have to fill out papers, and a lawyer is explaining to you how you're closing on a house. And then making it very clear, spelling it A, B, C, and then the customer, the client is thrilled because you made it so clear to me, and now I understand what I'm doing in a clear way. That is a good thing too, 100%, and you need that in marriage as well. But here it's not just that. Not just the factual information. It is the connecting and communicating carefully the needs, the hurts, the insights of each one. What really means, it's not just cold facts. Communication that isn't hurtful and insensitive will enable you to share and receive important information and insights in a manner that won't undermine the integrity of your marriage relationship. Communication without the goal of intimate connection can cause a tremendous amount of pain and irreparable damage to the relationship. So that is the biggest insight here. Communication is not just conveying clear facts that one understands each other that way. We're on the same page. Very good. You need that too, by the way. A husband and wife very often has to talk about technical things. How to handle the child with or the carpooling or the finances, or whether we're going for Shabbos over here, over there, or they're planning a bar mitzvah together, or they're planning a wedding together, and they have to work through the details. So there, yes, there the healthy communication is working through the facts of things, working through the things, they're talking about budgets in a healthy way, whatever it is. Then, yeah, then the communication of facts back and forth is very valuable. But with a marriage, it needs to be filled with that intimate aspect. That intimate aspect. Needs, what their hurts are, what insights about their personality, how they feel, and what their inner life is about, not just physically, but intellectually and emotionally and spiritually. So the first yesod that we're going to start talking about in this year, and we'll continue onward, is that good communication is mostly good listening. More than anything, your spouse just wants to be heard. he or she just wants to be heard. People say this mostly about women, that they don't necessarily want the solution of a problem from their husbands, but they want his empathy and his caring. It works the other way around too. A husband may seem more sometimes masculine, like uninterested in the warmth aspect of things. Some personalities may actually need it less. That may be true. But nevertheless, there's a deep need to want to be heard. More precisely than just wanting to be heard, your spouse wants to be listened by you. Your husband or wife wants to be listening in you. There's no greater intimacy than that. You want to be the one to whom your spouse's inner reality is confided. That's a healthy marriage. When you want your husband to share things with you of his deepest self, and you want your wife to share things about her to you regards to her inner, deeper self. And to accomplish that, you need to make your husband or wife feel safe and feel comfortable and feel confident, because your spouse will not open up and will not share things unless you provide a safe, comfortable, and confident assurance that you're really, really listening to them. So really, it's listening, not talking back. It sounds simple. It's not, because often we can't hold ourselves back from talking back, especially if we're interpreting what we're hearing as complaining about our behavior. Our ego kicks in, we get defensive, and we want to respond to defend ourselves and to justify ourselves and to use words now in self-justification to make your spouse feel less safe, not comfortable, not confident. And that is why one needs a real strong sense of self-esteem in order to listen with sensitivity and without defensiveness. Why do you need a strong degree of self-esteem? Because part of what you're listening to are things that are hurting your wife or husband pertaining to yourself. So you have to hear sometimes things about yourself that are things you need to correct, and you need strong sense of self-esteem and good midos to allow not that the ego should not kick in and to truly listen. The yisoid of all bein adam l'chaveirois is also this way, and for Rav to Talmud, good communication is mostly good listening. I heard once, this is a beautiful line. I actually once saw it in a particular film, a particular thing, but it was a really a wise thing. There was a man that provided for the husband and their young child, went out to war, was Vietnam, came out as a cripple, lost one leg and or both legs even, I don't remember, but basically one leg for sure, and was unable to walk well, had more difficulty with things, and the wife now had to take care of him more physically. He felt guilty about it. He felt very, like his ego, his pride was hurt. And he someone was trying to work through with him, because he was turning bitter and angry from it and frustrated. And someone was trying to get him to accept things and to be more back to himself. And he said something like this. He said, "I used to be needed. I used to be able to provide. I used to give everything I needed, that my wife needed, my child. I used to give them everything because they needed me. Now they don't need me." He's dependent a lot on them, on his wife. "She used to need me." And he answered back a real profound thing. This person told this husband that now was handicapped, "She doesn't love you because she needs you. She needs you because she loves you." Meaning, she loves you and she needs you because she loves you. And to her, it makes no difference whether you could provide as fully as you could from before. And the handicap is not an issue with her. It's not out of pity she's taking care of you. It's out of love, because she needs you, your essence of you. And that's why she loves you, whether you have this handicap or whether you don't have this handicap. A very moving thing to hear. But a lot of it is good listening. Listening is a siman of acceptance. We could give separate shiur bli neder, if I would have the time, just on the art of listening properly, the skills, the tools, which I need to learn myself as well, better. We all could improve on this area, and it could enhance our lives and transform our marriages into the most beautiful, strongest marriage possible. Bracha v'atzlacha.